Hello and welcome to part 2 of our 3-part special Why Work live recorded session. Now, if you haven't listened to part A, which was last week's episode, we suggest you go back in there because that's where the facts are. But in this session, we'll be looking at just how our participants unpacked the issues with Charlie and Lucy and the unrequited love and the things that could go awry at the workplace. It's great to also get feedback and questions posed by our listeners. So we've just added a snippet in with that as well to provide some context. So listen in and just see how things unfold. And then next week will be the final part of this woeful story. Enjoy. Hello, and welcome to the Why Work podcast, a series of playful legal dissections on the most curious and alarming events in the world of work. The podcasters Alan Girl, Trace Svetkovsky, and Sarah Pazell debate how to craft a better experience of work. Sit back, relax, and enjoy. And remember, none of the things we talk about today should be construed as legal advice or any other type of advice. We're just here to talk about all things related to work.
Trace, I received a great question from Andrew Merlot of ARUP, Air Up Engineering Consultancy. And this is about this case in this workshop about a small business needing to institute some organizational framework when they're challenged to understand all the work health safety legislation requirements. And there could be some confusion about the intimacy and relationships versus the boundaries that must be upheld in an employer obligations. And essentially, for this case of Charlie and Lucy, when we have Charlie and Lucy making decisions about gifts to give or to receive, respectively, and promotions, a very simple strategy would it be to have a second person sign off on this in the business so that there was a little more transparency, clarity, and sense of organizational justice, that the gift giving was distributed through the business fairly and commensurate with some need to recognize reward. So I love that we're just thinking about design strategy. What's something simple that's almost cost neutral, a little extra time, but no significant resource investment to have these extra protections in the workplace?
2 more minutes and I'll just ask you around the room. No, just about the person, who they are as a person. Nothing challenging yet. We're going there next. All right, guys, may I ask us to break right now? It's just to give some context, there's nothing controversial yet. Let's actually start about Lucy. Can you tell us something about Lucy? Any of her goals or challenges? Tell me a little bit about Lucy. 32 at the time. She's a woman who wants financial security and who might deserve financial security, right? Okay. Hell yeah. All right. She might want to start her own jewelry. She's collecting. Yes.
Right.
Okay. This is true. Okay. She's focused on her career. Okay. Any challenges with Lucy or other goals? So she's leveraging. She's leveraging this beer budget, okay, and making the most. All right. Any other challenges that you had?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. And this group? Some challenges with Lucy? Ooh, that's a bit deep. He's in the middle of some deep psychology education right now. So I just happen to know that about you, David. That was a bullet ride. Say that again for us all to hear, please. Okay. A lack of role clarity. Did you just come from the previous workshop?
That's straight out of the code.
That's
I like the thinking.
True.
I love it.
Okay, let's hear a little bit about Charlie. Who's Charlie? 42 at the time of the judgment. Back table. Who's Charlie? Tell me something about Charlie. Bring the mic to them. Yeah.
Charlie wants his business to succeed. And we thought that Charlie, really wants happy staff because they bring happy customers. He likes pretty things. But I think that Charlie wants his business to kind of be like family. It's kind of replacing his family in there, and he's got a blurred line there between.
Blurred lines. We actually sing that song sometimes on the podcast episode. Lots of blurred lines, which is sort of hinting about what you said, even for Lucy, okay?
Yeah. Excellent. Maybe some of his challenges is just at the bottom of the list here. We put possibly some trust issues.
And trust issues. Yeah. Lucy people, would Lucy have some trust issues too, perhaps? Possibly? Don't know. All right. Setting boundaries and trust on both sides now. Okay. This table, you're with Charlie, right? Right. Tell us a little bit, not that you're with Charlie on Charlie's side, but tell us a little bit about Charlie.
One of the thoughts we had was that because his marriage has just ended, he'd have identity problems or issues. And working out where he fitted in the world, if it was a completely different idea of where he had seen his life was heading and where it was at.
So what I love about that is that speaks to me about validation, which is what you just said about Lucy. We've heard about boundary setting, needs for validation, and you've now hinted that Charlie needs validation.
And also whether or not he had any warning the marriage was ending.
Right. Okay. Thank you. Perfect. Good. Charlie.
Yes.
We thought one of Charlie's goals was that he wanted a wealthy and successful image. So he's in fine jewellery. He wants to be successful in business, but he also wants to portray that image. And one of the ways he does that is promotion of his business through gifts. So if he gives gifts of jewellery to his employees like Lucy when she's out and about with her friends, they say, that's a beautiful necklace. Where
sell
did you get it?
Right.
So most of our goals sort of centred around the business and keeping the employees happy, wanting to be liked and trusted.
Keep that in mind when we start to do dissection, because I'll ask you about fairness and equity in the gift giving. Okay, keep that in mind. But that's a really good lead. Thank you.
Due to his marriage breakdown, he wasn't able to separate emotionally from work. And then we thought maybe he was socially awkward, emotionally immature, and lacked confidence, and not very clear on the relationships and appropriate relationships in the workplace, giving way too many gifts to a single individual. Not sure how he gifted the other employees, but so fairness in that. And then what did the other employees think? Because he had five employees. So, you know, what did they observe, the other three or four, between the two of them? And I'm sure there's a lot of gossip in back talking.
Wouldn't you want to be a fly on that wall, right? Excellent. Yep.
Indeed.
Great.
Excellent point.
All right. So now looking at the broader ecosystem and social relations there. Tribal cultures.
So we're still looking at Charlie himself?
Or? Charlie, just Charlie.
Okay, we thought, well, okay, we agree with a few of the things that were said then, that he's lonely, he's been out of circulation for a long time.
Out of circulation.
All right, so he didn't know how to behave, being perhaps a little socially inept, the dating game being very confusing these days. He might not even understand what he was doing and whether it was inappropriate or not. We thought this could be a small town mentality. He could have been brought up with a very isolated childhood and not knowing social behaviour.
Charlie's a little damaged from this table.
Yeah, okay, a little damaged. Damaged goods. The flip side of that is he could have been completely the opposite, that he was a lecherous whatever. well, narcissist even, but because he wouldn't show empathy if he was along those lines. But we thought he could be flipped from either way and masking it whichever way, but bit sort of ambivalent about where he's sitting at the moment. Don't know enough about him.
Don't know enough about Charlie. So you're going to be fleshing this out.
I want to do some research.
Yeah.
Well, on that point, can I just say, we've had the benefit of read the entire judgment, all 120
pages
odd, and I've pored over the material forensically, and many of the things you've touched on would have gone through, I'm convinced, of the arbitrator of fact and law, that is the judge's mind. It's a complex decision having to make it, and I believe a lot of the comments made would have been alluded to in court or through cross-examination. So I think you're all in the right ballpark.
And this is what I love about the connection between design and or work design and law, because you start in a design perspective about people and empathy, and you really start to think about that for designing for them. But when things are tested, when they've crossed boundaries and tested in the court of law, it goes back to the people stuff. It goes right back to where this started, right? So this is the same things you'll tease out in detailed case law.
It's fuzzy, so, and it's blurry, and it's not black and white. In a perfectly designed ecosystem, it is, but once it goes into court, it's just messy.
This is a great point in terms of out and about, like leadership from, I'm just thinking, leadership theories I studied 20, 30 years ago were always about get out and closely.
Not that closely.
How close? So we might talk about that. Anyone who later is talking more about work design might consider some of that aspect, all right? About what's the boundary on that closeness of getting to know someone?
So if I can comment on your observation, this is such a massive problem for employers, because when you walk around the workplace and you see that there's a member of staff who's paying too much attention to another member of staff, it's very hard to intervene. There's no law that says you can't have a relationship between two staff members, but you really have to pull them aside and say, it's normally a bloke, hey fella, you know, what's going on here?
That's another story, I think. There's a story there. Okay.
These are difficult topics, and sometimes leadership just don't want to talk about it, but you've got to talk about it. Yeah, robots. Let's get into the
conference.
AI.
Why work? All right. So are you familiar with empathy maps? Some of you did them with us last year if you were in the group. No? It is, so personas and empathy maps are my go-to tools when I'm going out to do almost any assessment, right? I start with personas and I create empathy maps, and they might accompany task analysis, job analysis, risk assessments, but I almost always produce an empathy map from some of this work I do. So an empathy map is simply, for the researchers in the room, a way of doing thematic analysis about the human experience. Trying to explain the human experience and getting into the nuance, the granular aspects of that. So you understand, what are their pain points? What are their gain points? But it starts with, what do people actually say? What are they saying to you? Extract some of the quotes, right? Map them out. What are they doing? What are their tactics, their actions, or their tasks in response to a situation? How do they feel about things? So when you're using that category on your empathy map, it should start with, I feel exhausted, I feel described. The first word is always, I feel confronted, I feel challenged, right? So imagine completing that sentence, I feel what? And then, what did I say? Think so what you said, what you think, what you've done, what you felt, right? There we go. But what you think too. So what's behind the talking and the action, what you think. So those of you who do cognitive work analysis, trying to extract embedded knowledge. So if you could say, I think whatever. This is their almost their opinion, their perspective, their values on something. So the I think is the other category. And down the bottom would be, what's your pain point? What's your gain point? Pain point, what are the challenges that you're having? Gain points, what are the things that are working well that if you were designing for this, you would want to prop and support, okay? So now the goal is to create empathy maps for Lucy and Charlie, okay? So we can stay with the same groups for right now. So for Charlie, since you did the personas back, those four, an empathy map, if you need, yeah. So do you want me to say those categories again? Because I've done nice little symbols.
So we'll point from the top.
Yep, top left. But you could change the order, it doesn't matter. But what did you say? What did you say, said, right? What did you think, top right? So this one you should scribe in your tables. What did you say? What did you think? What did you do? And how did you feel? Okay?
So,
what's that? Empathy map.
So to
and
get the ball rolling.
Below that, pain point, gain point. Six little, I'll say it one more time. What did you say? What did you think? What did you do? What did you feel? What was your pain point? What is your gain point or the thing you want to keep?
So we'll start with a couple of little hints to get the ball rolling.
Yeah, so thank you. So we're going to ask you to create these for Charlie in context to this situation now, in relation to the what became conflict with Lucy. Lucy, we want to ask you to do this in context to now this challenge you've had with Charlie. So, for example, Wait, I think Alan's got Charlie. Can you give us one example of each? I'll give you one line of each, and you can flow from here, right? What did you say?
So, starting in the top left-hand quarter?
It's right on your... Yep. What did you say? Give me something.
I'm not using Trace's example. They're terrible. What did you... So, Charlie says... Charlie says, you know, when asked about it, he says, I never meant to hurt her.
I never meant to hurt her. That's one of his statements, all right? You're going to make this up. What did he do?
What did he do? He makes inappropriate, Trace has got comments or jokes, but remarks.
What did he think?
He's thinking that it's all okay because he's in love with her. And so he can... be romantic towards
her. How did he feel?
He sees it as romantic.
How did he feel?
He probably feels desperate.
Oh, all right. So you'll elaborate all the Charlies. You can expand, okay? And let's have a little rundown examples of Lucy. What did she say?
I wrote a few things down. If I were to walk in her shoes... For example, I feel sick to my stomach every time he walks by. I'm a bit histrionic and dramatic. That's just my nature.
What did she think?
This is so unfair. I'm just trying to get on with my job.
What did she do?
Tried to avoid him. Started taking sickies.
I've got to add, but accepted lots of gifts. Okay. And what did she feel?
Well, she felt a lot, but ultimately anxious, humiliated, violated.
So you've got 10 minutes to work on an empathy map for Lucy and Charlie. 10 minutes, yep. All right. So we're going to do journey maps in just a minute. Good question. So during the experience of the employment. It's during the experience of the employment. 2 minutes, yep. One more minute. All right, team. Let's hear a little bit this time. Can we hear from the Charlie groups? Can we hear a little bit about your empathy maps from the Charlie? You're soon about to star in your own podcast, okay? So we're going to be using this information as fuel. Doesn't have to be perfect as long as your thinking has started, because you're soon to star in your own podcast. So for this group...
All right.
Give us something about Charlie. Tell us something about some of the things he said.
Well, he said, I never meant to hurt her.
I never meant to hurt her. That could be very true. And give us a couple more.
Lovesick puppy.
But I love her.
He felt like a lovesick puppy. And what?
I felt I loved her.
And I felt that I loved her. All right. Anything else that's compelling that you want me to make sure before I pass on? Give the rest of the group. Okay, that's all right.
But I think, can I say I thinks? He thinks it's okay because he is in love.
So. Yeah, you say, when you're writing this, you say, I think, because you're putting yourself
in. And I think she's misinterpreting the messages of the beautiful gifts that I'm...
Lucy, get with it. You're misinterpreting. All right. So let's add a few more. Some saids or some dids. Charlie.
He felt this was normal behaviour. I think he felt it was normal behaviour. He thought it was the feelings were reciprocated to carry on for that long. So very romantic. We also thought once he realised the lawyers got involved, he would have been hurt and angry. Felt rejected. He thought his actions would win her over, so he wanted a relationship. He gave her gifts. He thought that was everything about it was appropriate.
Okay. How about some of his actions? What did he do, guys? Have you got some actions written down?
Yeah, we've got some actions. He gave lots of gifts, and he kept giving more and more gifts. And we think that what he was thinking about these gifts was that, well, she's not saying no, so any moment she's going to say yes. And I think what he was feeling was hope and possibly an escalating fear that, you know, she's going to say no. So he's escalating the behaviour up.
Very good.
some of the pain points and the gain points.
You're Charlie, right?
Yes.
You are.
Yeah. Gain points was companionship and feeling valued. Pain points was loneliness and fear.
Loneliness and fear. Is anybody on this side at least feeling a little bit of compassion to Charlie? Okay. Lucy. Give us something about Lucy.
Just because I'm standing in front of it. She was probably saying, I don't know where the boundaries are. I need this job. And he is old and creepy.
Oh. How do you feel, Charlie? Adding to this? What you can add a few from both.
Okay. In terms of what she's saying, we think she's saying, no, thank you, I'm not interested, I just want to do my job. And we think she's thinking, how do I say no so he understands? Thinking she doesn't want to walk away from the job.
Perfect. What does she do, guys, gals? What does she do? Who's comfortable? Here you go.
What does she do? Oh, we had a cut. Can we just say another thing is that we sort of, he's my boss and I have to keep, be polite to him because he's my boss and I don't want to lose my job and I can't find other work and I like where this job is, it's close to home. And these are valuable and I can make money from these too, so I deserve it. I've been working hard and I don't get paid very well, so this is just a way of recompense.
Remind us at the end of today to tell you a little insights of the reflections. We know where Lucy is right now in life. Just remind me to share that later.
And then what I do is, well, I take some sick leave, but I accept and sell the gifts, and I keep taking the gifts, even after I've been told he loves me.
Any pain points or gain points?
I think she also might think, like, I don't like his attention, but I like the gifts.
Any pain points or gain points? Right. The job security?
I look good on social media with these gifts.
So that photo, yes.
The Lucy tables, this table, which one's your Lucy?
This is late Lucy.
So just...
Oh, provocative, that's what I want to say. Oh, okay. So
that could be cultural,
Yeah, I guess she might have have been brought up, you don't give gifts back, it's very insulting.
Could be cultural. All right. So think of all of these things. You can be keeping a few notes as people talk. We're going to be doing a little tag team simulation in a moment of operating your own podcast, okay? First, just a few things to talk about journey map. You know, what have happened at Lucy's hiring? Anything from the floor, from your experiences? Could have been informal hiring, right? What would have happened with some of her mentoring and training? Was she given gifts straight away? Just fabricate. I like to look at things at intersections on a journey map. What might have happened at her inductions?
Well, he was still married.
He was still married, right, okay. Okay, so all through this period of time, when we ask you to think about work design, I want you to keep this in mind about could there have been something done right at the beginning of the advertisement and the selection and the recruitment? Could there be something done in the interview, the onboarding, the orientation, in the training, in the way that the job was crafted? Because she quickly escalated and got new job titles with those gifts of a production manager, from sales assistant to production manager. Could there have been something done at any point in the work travel, the training, the education? So this journey map from hire to retire until her exit, is there anything, any intervention that could have helped? I want you to keep that in mind, because every so often I'll be asking you to come up as a work design strategist, and one person will be a work design strategist in the hot seat.
Okay. Anything you want to chat about that? Yes?
Just have a question. It says that he approached Lucy. So whether or not she was interviewed or he...
She was headhunted. There you
so
go.
Maybe didn't need to be interviewed.
But that's still a selection process, right? Very personal. One of the cases that we just talked about on the episode was a true story, was a lawyer who recruited a legal assistant from a strip club while she was wearing her bunny suit. That's a real case. It's a couple episodes ago. Okay, we don't make this stuff up. And aside from her legal work, it was expected that she entertain clients, right? That was part of the expectation, right? So so Lucy was headhunted. Okay.
But that wasn't formalized in contract.
In that episode, I'll have to revert back. So when I talk, last theory part, and then we just go to action. I'll explain the action in a minute. When I talk to businesses who are in a technology transformation kind of mindset, I often talk about any transformation in the workplace in four categories, and it's the integration of technology, how well you do that. Human factors people are excellent at helping with those processes. It could be about a workspace change, which, you know, could be distributed workforce or an actual fit out. It might be about work systems and job design and redesign. All of these areas have great room for human factors intervention. Or it may be about a safety event, managing it, mitigating it, investigating it, you name it, right? So four main areas for business transformation. And lo and behold, those have arisen in the occupational psychosocial risk, the extra that came out at the 2023, is it Division 11, 55A, B, C, and D? You guys know this stuff. With the change in the regulations in Queensland, and it says specifically the context for occupational psychosocial harm are these four contexts. They use the word plant instead of technology, but I think of technology as being mobile plant as well as VR, XR headsets, any technologies that come into the business where humans must interact. Those are the same pathways for occupational psychosocial risk, and to me, you need to understand those causational pathways because then you can start to design those aspects better. So I'm planting that seed for you to think about those who jump up into the hot seat to talk about design. Could there be technology that was better? Could there be a workspace that was better? A way to manage and mitigate the safety event of the what was perceived to be abusive or harmful? And could there be a better way to create that job system and that work, right? That's good prompts for work redesign. But we're actually going to get you on the record for the podcast debate. So what does that mean? That means that tag team simulation, we have some Charlies, right? And we have some Lucys. One at a time comes up. Now, if you get stuck, you can phone a friend. This is the good thing about tag team simulation. We also have a little power, and we can tap you on the shoulder and say, right, change with so-and-so, or we can walk around here, tap you on the shoulder, say change. We're going to start in our roles of Charlie and Lucy, but it will mix up. We are also going to have the person in the middle. If we were on our podcast, that would be me talking about work redesign. What are the things? So you're almost like an adjudicator, balancing out what the prosecution and the defense are saying and saying, how could you reconstruct? You're aspirational. You keep thinking about the better ways that things could be done, and you interject with a little sentence there. Now, we didn't do a ton on that because I'm working in a room with human factors people. I've just tried to prompt some thinking. If you're really concerned about coming in with that sort of thinking, phone a friend, talk to somebody else who's very experienced in this room. But I suspect I'm going to have a lot of opinion among the players in this room about how things could have been done better, right? And any of those intersections of the journey map, from hire to retire, or those four causational pathways, okay? So we need somebody to start to tell us a little bit about Charlie's stance. You would be the person defending Charlie. We need somebody to also start as a prosecution about the concerns that Lucy might have if you were prosecuting the case. We also need a work design strategist. For right now, is there anybody on the Charlie tables?
that wants to start?
We hope you enjoyed that episode of Why Work. You've been listening to Trage, Sarah and Alan. And if you'd like to know more about some of the things we've talked about today, please subscribe and we'd be more than happy to provide you with information, names of cases and other things that may interest you. Please be aware that none of the matters we've talked about today should be construed as legal advice or any other type of advice. We're just here to talk about all things related to work. See you next time.